John chapter 4, we want to begin reading with verse 43. Verse 43. And the title to our message this morning is, What Made the Difference? What Made the Difference? So I want to begin reading with verse 43 of John chapter 4. And of course, I do appreciate again you being here as well as those who are viewing online. I appreciate the faithfulness in our online ministry and those that are involved with that as well as those that so faithfully listen. And so I appreciate that. So let's begin reading with verse 43. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down here, my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word of Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them that hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This again is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for the music. We thank you for each individual that's here. We thank you for those that are viewing and those that will be viewing. But now, Lord, we just ask for your presence. We ask for your anointing. We ask for your help this morning. And, Lord, we know that people come to church and view with all kinds of different burdens and all kinds of problems in life. But, Lord, help us to all come to that understanding that the most important thing is that we give it to Jesus. Help us do that this morning. And, Lord, we just pray that you'll move in a special way, and we ask your help this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What made the difference? I've read this account on several different occasions. And it seems like when I read this account, then the Lord speaks to me in a different way or in an unusual way. And so I began to think about what made the difference. What made the difference in this account? And the verse that came to my mind is actually found in John 10:10, that it says this, The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And we think to ourselves, well, what does that verse have to do with the nobleman's son being healed? The understanding is this, that a thief can attack in various ways. A thief can attack in various ways. And a thief will look to a person's weakest place. Very seldom, and I'm not going to say it doesn't happen, but very seldom will a thief try to rob when things are secure. But when there's a weakness found, the weakness becomes the weak point that the thief will try to attack. And if a thief can steal, then he has found that weakness. You see, if a thief, and I'm thinking of Satan, if a thief can find a weakness in our armor, then the attack will come. The attack will come. Sometimes the thief, which is Satan, will allow himself, or we will allow, or circumstances will allow, that Satan will get in a person's mind, and the very first thing that he attacks, and I believe one of the biggest hindrances in God moving in a person's life, is doubt. That is one of the greatest hindrances in a person's life, is doubt. Let me kind of put it to you this way. When a baby cries for its mother, it doesn't cry with doubt. It doesn't cry with doubt. When a child jumps into a father's arms, it doesn't jump with doubt. It doesn't jump with doubt. And I've told you the story about Marshall used to jump in my arms growing up, but I eventually learned my limitations, and I'm like, no. Because there was a possibility that I would drop him. Many times, if we're not careful, people, and we can be guilty of this, we approach life with plan A, plan B, and even plan C. Plan A is, Lord, will you help me through this? But if you don't, I have a plan B. And if plan B doesn't work, then I have a plan C. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, even in my own personal experience in life, there's been times that I've prayed about something, and I knew that God had the ability. I knew that God would, could do it, whatever the prayer was that I was praying. But I also sometimes in the back of my mind says, well, if the Lord doesn't do this, then I'm going to go to plan B and do this. And then if plan B doesn't work, then I'm going to go to plan C. When in reality, now that I study and now that I spend time in the scripture and spend time in prayer, in reality, when I had plan A, which was the most important, plan A was full of doubt because I had plan B and then I had plan C. And if we're not careful, we live life that way. We know the Lord will save. We know the Lord will save to the uttermost. But what about when troubles come? What about when problems come? What about when life happens to us that was unexpected? And we live with these plans, and in reality, in living with these plans B and C, we're really not putting our true faith in plan A. There's been things that I know, and maybe I should say this, and maybe I should ask it to myself as well as ask it to you, is, has there ever been a time in your life that you knew God was leading you to do something, and you knew that He was leading you to do something, and you didn't do it because of doubt? You knew that you should have done it. You knew that God was leading you to do it, and you didn't do it because of doubt. Maybe you were afraid of failure. Maybe you were afraid of what others might think or others might say. Maybe you were afraid of sacrifice. No matter the reason, most likely, it was due to doubt. It was due to doubt. And I will say this, if God has really led you to do something and you didn't do it, then it'll always be in your mind. Now, we may get over it or we may think about other things, but it'll always be there, because if you experience that, then you remembered it when I said it. That's doubt. That's doubt. What made the difference here? What made the difference in this man's life as well as this son's life? What made the difference? Well, I want us to consider a few things this morning for the time that we have. And the first thing I want us to consider is that we see a seeker. There has to be a seeker. Verse 46 says, "So Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he made the water and wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum." So we have a seeker. The nobleman came to Jesus. So he came to the right place. He knew that Jesus could make a difference. So he came to the right place. We also don't know much about this nobleman, but we would consider the position of a nobleman was one that would have authority or kind of be a ruler. And we don't know a lot of details, but we understand based upon what the Bible says and the word nobleman means that there's some authority there. So he understands authority. He understands position. He understands, how things work. And he would be known as one in a, I would say, kind of a wealthy class, one that had more wealth than the poor of that day or just the average person. He would be known as someone with wealth. But we need to be reminded this morning that it's not a person's position in society that makes a difference. It's not about a person's position. It's not about a person's achievements or accomplishments or anything like that that makes a difference. But what makes a difference is Jesus. It wasn't who he was that caused this one to be healed. He believed that Jesus could heal his son. He went to Jesus. Now, when you're in that frame of mind and when you're in that state and he realized that his son was at the point of death and even makes mention in verse 47 that he was at the point of death, then there's really, when it comes to death, there's no plan B or plan C. There's just plan A, and that's go to Jesus Christ. And so, but sometimes in life, maybe when you're not talking about a death, but when you're talking about life itself, then sometimes we do tend to have a plan B and plan C. But I want us to notice the approach of this seeker. He approached Jesus with this need. He asked him to come down and to heal. Verse 47 says, "And when he heard that Jesus was coming to Judea of Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." So he came, he told Jesus, or asked Jesus, to come down and heal his son, to come down to where his son was, to heal. He asked him point blank, and that was the seeker that he asked. He said, "Come down." But we need to be reminded of something, just like this nobleman learned, that Jesus didn't need to be with the son or in his presence for him to be healed. He didn't have to be there. He asked for his presence. He asked. It was almost like, although he asked in faith, it was almost like, and if we have to be careful here, and I'm careful by saying this, but it was almost like even with his faith, even with him asking Christ, it was almost like there was conditions put there. It was almost like, "Jesus, I need you to come down and to heal my son." Whereas if we accept Jesus by faith, then Jesus can do the work whether he's there or not. And he taught that lesson there. He was at the point of death because he made the statement, this seeker, which was a nobleman, was actually at the point of death. And even makes mention, he says he's about to die. So you better hurry. You better hurry. When he was asking Jesus two things, Jesus, you need to get here. And two, you better hurry. You better hurry. This man would soon learn that it's not about what he desired, and it's not about his timing, but it's about God's timing. It's about God's timing. As much as we want to, and as much as we desire, we can't rush the Lord. The Lord knows exactly where we are in our life. The Lord knows exactly what we're going through. But where we need to come to Him is by faith, and don't put a time limit on it. By faith. You see, that's the difference. You see, our faith, if we're not careful, our faith can become plan A, plan B, and plan C because it's not happening fast enough. But I'm convinced of this, and many of you are the same, that when God's timing is right, you will see things happen. When God's timing is right, but the key to this is that we ask in faith without a plan B or plan C. We ask in faith. And so he was learning. Now, I'm not criticizing in a sense of he did wrong. I'm just saying he was learning a valuable lesson, and he learned that it wasn't the fact that Jesus had to come down to heal the son. It wasn't that the fact that he was getting ready to die within a few moments or even a few hours, but it's the fact that he went to Jesus. But we need to just go to Jesus and allow him to do the work, not us saying, Lord, this is what I need you to do. We're just simply allowing him to do the work. Lord, I need you. I need you with this problem. I need you with this situation. I need you with this hindrance. I need you in my life. We can't rush the Lord because this is where faith comes in. This is where faith comes in. And I can give you a testimony, and I won't spend a lot of time doing it, but there's been some things in my life, in my young ministry life, that it was almost like I was putting conditions on my faith. It was almost like I was saying, Lord, you know, when I started to Bible college, and I started to, trying to find my path in life as far as ministry was concerned. And there were times that I said, Lord, I'm gonna do this by faith. But then when I started stumbling, it seemed like, and when life became a little difficult, then I started to panic. And then I was like, well, if this doesn't work out, then I'm gonna do this. And if we're not careful, we can all be guilty of that. We can all be guilty. But our faith, and this nobleman's faith, needs to be in Jesus. It needs to be in Jesus. So let's see his faith. How did he receive this faith? How did he understand this faith? Well, first, his faith was based upon others. In other words, information. Information. He received information of what Jesus can do. And I thought about that and thought about how that he heard that Jesus was there. And I thought about the fact that he had to get that information from somewhere. And, you know, I don't hear as much as I did in years gone by. I don't hear as much of what Jesus is doing. But he's working. We're just not telling. He's working. I remember growing up, and I remember in years gone by, and I remember people saying that gave testimony of what God was doing in their life. You know, I remember growing up, and I grew up in the mountains in my younger years, and then we moved away. But point is, I remember hearing about people. When I went into services that my dad would take us to as children, and even my dad when he pastored, I would hear people give testimony of, look what God did. Look what the Lord did. Look how the Lord helped in this situation and helped in that situation. And look how He delivered in this. And look how He saved this individual and that individual. And in other words, you know, I wonder sometimes if we promote what God's doing enough to build someone else's faith. You see, this nobleman had to hear it from someone. And he heard, so his faith was based upon the experience of what Jesus could do in their life. He had heard what Jesus could do. He had heard what Jesus could do. So his faith in what he was hearing from others led him to seek Jesus. Led him to seek Jesus. He led him. His faith led him. And he came to Jesus and asked, you know, and asked for the healing of this son. He said, My son's at the point of death. My son's at the point of death. I need you. And I believe it was a cry of sincerity. And I believe it was a cry of need. And I believe it was a cry that pointed to Jesus Christ, saying, Jesus, you're the only one that can do this. You're the only one. Do you know there's things in our life that we're carrying around that we just keep carrying and carrying and carrying, and we're just not truly, totally giving it all to Jesus? We're guilty of that because we're too busy living, and I'm guilty, and I'm speaking of myself, but I'm too busy sometimes of living with plan B and plan C, when in reality we need to go plan A, and that's Jesus, and let everything else go. Plan A. His faith led him to plead to Jesus, verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea, Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. So that was his request. Jesus, will you heal my son? Of course, Jesus already knew. He already knew his son was at the point of death, but he went ahead and told him anyway. Jesus, my son was at the point of death. So his faith was based upon what he heard from others. His faith was what led him to seek Jesus. His faith was pleading to Jesus. And his faith still had limits, but would soon change. You see, his faith had limits because he said, Jesus, I need you to come down. I need you to come down and heal my son. I need you to come down. Where our faith comes in should be we simply accept Christ by His Word. We accept Christ by His Word. You see, His faith changed from limits to accepting His Word. Jesus says in verse 50, you see, Jesus didn't do what he requested. He didn't do what he requested. Jesus didn't come down as he requested. Jesus come down, but he answered in a mightier way. In reality, his faith was strengthened, but is also, not only was his faith strengthened, his faith was also tested. His faith was strengthened, but it was also tested. What made the difference? His faith. That's what made the difference. Because his request was that Jesus come down. Because we already know of the situation. We already know of the son being sick. We already know of him being at the point of death. We know that he heard about what Jesus would do. We already, he knew what he needed to do. He needed to seek Jesus Christ. He knew he needed to plead to Jesus. But now his faith would be tested. Because Jesus said in verse 50, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now he didn't see it. He didn't see it. Do you remember Thomas that says, I'll believe if I can put my hands in his side? and his hands in the where the nails were. And then when Jesus came on the scene, Thomas' whole outlook changed. You know, when it's true faith in Jesus Christ, we have to be careful, because it's all in God's timing and it's all about trusting. I spoke last night to the men at the rescue mission, and I made a statement, and I'll make the statement to you. Our trust in the Lord should be unwavering. Our trust in the Lord should be unwavering. But if we're not careful, when we say, "Lord, I need you to help with this," or "I need you to, you know, whatever it is," and then we go to when we're not seeing, then we're really not trusting, and we go to plan B, and then we go to plan C. And then I ask the question, where's our faith? I'm not saying making wise decisions. Look, we need to make wise decisions based upon our experiences. But I'm talking about downright faith in Jesus. That's what the nobleman had to do. He had to have his faith in Jesus Christ, because there was no plan B or plan C in this young man's life. There was no plan. But so when Jesus said to go thy way, thy son liveth, notice what it says in verse 50. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now, there was a little bit of a journey for him to go to the son, because it even makes mention that someone met him and said, "There's thy son liveth." And so there was a journey. And so sometimes when we give our requests to the Lord, or when we give our concerns to the Lord, and we come to the altar and we say, "Lord, I'm going to give it to you," do we really mean it? And do we take it back once we give it, when we're not seeing something happen the next day or the next day or the next day? You see, it's all in the Lord's timing anyway. It's all in the Lord's timing anyway. So we need to just simply trust Him. "Lord, I'm putting my trust in you no matter what. I'm going to trust you unconditionally, unwavering. I'm going to put my trust in you." That's what the nobleman did. Because he went away. You know, nowadays there's an app, probably, if they would have been back then, there would be an app to see, to reach out and see the sun moving around. You know, there's these apps that you can keep track of people. And you can keep track of where they are. I wonder sometimes what they'd do if you attached the phone to a deer or something and took off running. They'd be in a panic. But there wasn't any kind of those things. And sometimes I think if we're not careful, all the education and all the smarts of society has almost put Jesus to the side. But our faith this morning should be in Jesus Christ. No matter what the need is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation is, our faith should be in Jesus. And that's what it is, his faith. His faith was based on what others had said. His faith was led to seek Jesus. He pleaded to Jesus. And yes, there was some limits, because he said, come down. But yet his faith accepted Jesus at his word. His faith accepted, and he went. You see, I thought about that, "Go thy way." And it took faith for him to leave Jesus. The one that could heal, the one that could change a life, he had to accept his word by faith. But by him going, and by the Bible saying him believing, must have given him a great calm from his fears. Many times we struggle in life and we have a lot of fears. We fear this happening, we fear that happening. A lot of times, if we're not careful, we fear the what ifs more than we fear the circumstances. But we fear the what ifs because you know how our mind works. Our mind works as, well, if this happens, then this, and if that happens, then that. And what if this happens, then we're going to be in trouble. And we deal with the what ifs more than the reality of just simply giving it to Jesus Christ. And I began this message this morning by making mention of the one who casts doubt, and that is none other than Satan himself. He's the one that casts doubt. He's the one that interrupts things. He's the one that puts things in the way because he is looking for that weak place in the armor, and if he can get in, it's not good. It's no different than some of you have experienced snakes in your house. And we've experienced it in our 30 years. We've experienced a few that Darla knows about and probably a few that she don't know about. But they're looking for them weak spots. And I remember one that came in underneath, and she knows about this one, by the way, so I can tell it. But there was one that came in through the dryer duct where it was went through the house, and it had gotten underneath the dryer duct. And when I saw him, he was half in, half out. And I was thinking to myself, well, I'm not going to pull him out, so what am I going to do? And so, I couldn't really shoot him, so even though I wanted to, because it was in brick, but I ended up taking the shovel and thought, you know what, we may smell him for a while, but he ain't going to get any further. And so I took my shovel and I killed him and chopped him in half. And believe it or not, with the Lord's help, he wiggled enough to where he fell out. And so then I got rid of him. But the point is, they're going to look for the weakness. And that's what Satan does. He's going to look for the weakness in our armor. And when he looks for that weakness, if he can get his head in, and what is the weakness that I think that we all deal with if we're not careful? And that is the weakness of the mind. The what ifs, the doubts, the concerns, the plan Bs, the plan Zs. What is the weakness? The weakness is the mind. You see, this nobleman had to accept Jesus by faith. And Jesus said, "To go thy way, thy son liveth." And then somebody met him. Going down that road, the servant met him and said, "Hey, thy son liveth." And then he said, "When did he get better? When did he get better? When did the fever leave him?" That's in verse 52. And he gave the hour. He said it was yesterday, the seventh hour. And the father knew it was when Jesus said the words, "Go thy way." But he didn't know until he got there. He didn't know until he got there. So how do we apply our faith? How do we apply our faith? Well, we need to be like the nobleman. And he believed. He simply believed. He accepted the promise. He stood by his word. And he acted on faith. And that's the same application that we can use in life today. It's the same application that we can use in life today. We just simply need to believe. Believe by faith. We need to accept his promises. When the Bible says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that's a promise. When the Bible says to cast your care upon him because he cares for you, that's a promise. When God says that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that's a promise. You see, there's promise after promise after promise. And those promises don't have the condition of, well, I'll do this if, and if it doesn't work this time, then go to plan B and it'll work next time. No, we need to accept it by faith. That's what the nobleman did. He accepted by faith. He believed. He accepted the promise. He stood by the word and he stood on faith. No doubt when he took the next step and when he took the next step in life, he had to walk away from the presence of Jesus as a person. He had to walk away, and he walked away believing. So what made the difference? What made the difference? Well, there's a verse found in Psalm 32:8. that the Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. And that's exactly what that nobleman claimed. Jesus gave him instruction. He taught him, told him what to do. And he went and he guided him. And when he got back home, he saw the son. And Jesus had healed him. What made the difference? What made the difference was there was no doubting. There was believing. No doubting. There was believing. So I asked the question this morning, what is it that you're struggling with? What is it that you give to the Lord, but then you take it back? When we pray, and when we ask the Lord to help, and when we pray for even when we pray here at church, Lord, give us a good service. Lord, give us this and help us with this, and may you be honored. Are we praying believing? Sometimes we look around and we might get discouraged because we see this and we see that and we see all these things. But in reality, you know, all these things is up to the Lord anyway. And he's the one that's going to move. And if anything's going to be done in life, if anything's going to be done in our life, if anything's going to be done, he's going to have to be the one to do it anyway. And that's the realization that this nobleman had, was if his son was going to be healed, the Lord's the one that had to heal him, because there was nothing else he could do. I wonder if we took that approach more often, instead of having the plan B and plan C, if we wouldn't see our faith strengthened and see God moving. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we pray, but maybe we don't believe as much as we need to. On the surface we do, but then in the back of our minds, in the back of our hearts, we're saying, well, if this doesn't work out, then I'm just going to have to do this, or I'm going to have to do that. And there's putting in that plan B and plan C. Let me encourage you this morning, we need to stick with plan A, and that's giving everything to Jesus Christ. And so I challenge you this morning as we have our invitation, if there's something that you're dealing with, and look, the Lord already knows anyway, but if there's something that you're dealing with, let's bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving you everything. And that's my plan A. I'm giving you everything like the nobleman. And when I walk out this door this morning, then I'm going to go and see what you're doing in my life. And then I'm going to tell others what Jesus does. So let's pray this morning. Father, our realization this morning is that you are the one that makes the difference. Our realization this morning is that we simply apply our faith, what you've taught us. We accept by faith, and we put our unwavering trust in you. Help us to do that this morning. Help us to put our unwavering trust in you. And help us to stick with plan A, which plan A is, Jesus, I want you in every aspect of my life. I want you in every room of my house. I want you in every place in my heart, because you are plan A, the one that makes a difference. Father, if you've spoken to hearts this morning, I invite them to come. Only you know whether you've spoken. Now help us to apply. And Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know Jesus and that they'll say yes to Jesus this morning. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.